Last week I started teaching a different set of topics which we titled Living the Godly Life. And then before I go into what I want to teach today, I'll just review for a few moments the things that we discussed last week. But before we do that, let's take our text of scripture for today, and then we'll go on from there. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Now, I'll just read a few verses. Let me read from verse 15. It said, "But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. The gift is not like that which came from the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from the transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." Now, why I read this scripture is just to review the thing that we discussed last week, and then after that, I'll read the scripture that pertains to what we are going to discuss today. Now, why I read this is, like I said, is to review what we said last week, and then these are a number of points we made. I began to speak about what I call living the godly life. And the most important things I brought out, I just want to highlight it again before we go into the main thing we're going to discuss today. I explained that the main aim of life, all right, is what? Righteousness. And that the impression we try to give sometimes, or we have learned, all right, is as if the reason why we walk righteously is that it's another way to get blessings in life. Now, let me explain this again. God always rewards faithfulness. Are you getting my point? But faithfulness is not for the purpose of the reward. Are you getting my point? Faithfulness is for the aim of what? Faithfulness. We explained last week that righteousness is for that end, righteousness. But God always rewards righteousness. Do you understand my point? That godliness is not the means for gain. In fact, Paul said it like this, that godliness accompanied with contentment gives you great gain. But what he was explaining is that that is not the reason why we live a godly life. It is not, because sometimes you see, people make it look as if this is a sign that my faith is working. Look at how much I have acquired. This is a sign that my faith is working. Look at how much I have been promoted in the work that I'm doing. Look, this is a sign that my faith is working, that God is vindicating me. But I want to bring it to our minds again. It is not always like that. Faith took Joseph into the palace, but that same faith took Moses out of the palace. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? While some people were receiving the dead back, all right, to life, some were dying because of their faith. All right, while faith was delivering some people from the jaws of the lions, some were surrendering their life to the lions because of their faith. Do you get my point? Paul did not die in unbelief, but he was beheaded. I wanted to understand this point. So we emphasized these things last week, that righteousness is for the end, righteousness. Now, so I established that. Paul explained that what he was trying to do was to teach men how to walk in a manner that is pleasing to God. And I want you to bear this in mind. Fix it in your mind. Put it in the center of your heart as a child of God. What decides your motion in life should be whether God is pleased with you, not what you are going to get. Are you getting my point? There is, you know, I remember once I was during my youth service. Somebody passed a comment which I thought that guy a very, very silly fellow. That if I had the guy got a degree, I didn't understand, because he appeared to me like a very daft individual. You understand my point? Anytime we are talking, the kind of comments he passes, I just look and say, look, which kind of human being are you? Once I served in the Nigerian Army. So there was this young officer just left their training, just came back, took up his job as a second lieutenant. And he was describing some of their training, how they'll be, you know, bombardments and all that. You know, live, you know, they train with live ammunition. You know, so it was, you know, because in the army, you know, a certain degree of casualty during training is allowed. Are you getting my point? Because they use live ammo. So the guy was talking and describing the things they went through, the drilling and everything. And this guy, you know, at the end of the day, you know what he said? He said, "Now, wow, for how much?" I just looked at him and said, I couldn't insult him, you get my point, but my heart abused him, I insulted him thoroughly in my heart. I just couldn't tell him on the face that, look, do you judge everything in life as to how much? Do you understand my point? Listen, everybody in life, and I want to take off from there again today, you must understand it as a child of God. Life is, you know, let me start put it like this. Before I left last week, now after we finished teaching, Aaron asked me a question. He said that you said, because I made some points, that God has, and you may have heard me say it again and again, that God has never, read through the scriptures, when Jesus would be speaking, he hardly emphasized on the issue of sons. Do you get my point? His emphasis was always on the issue of what? Servants. You see, we were taught, you know, as young believers, growing up in the matter of the word of faith, that you see, we are not servants, we are sons. And we made it appear as if sons are superior to servants. Now, I'll explain something. In certain areas, they are. So Arinze asked me at the end, he says, sir, so what is the issue of sons? Because, of course, you know, everything is a balance. Just as some people overplayed the issue of sons, and then therefore over downplayed, you get my point, the issue of servants, I'm also at risk, all right, of overplaying the issue of servants and downplaying too much the issue of sons. Like I always say, the issue about life is balance. Ed Cole said, balance is the key to life. You must learn to take things in a balance. So he now asked me that, what exactly is the, I can't remember the words he used, but let me just put my own words. What exactly is the balance? And I said something to him, that the Bible says, let's read this. Let's go to the book of Malachi. It would be a good place to start. Chapter 3, verse 16. I won't read the whole context, but I just want to bring this one out. It said, then those who feared the Lord, that this was a response to those who were complaining that they have served God and God has not blessed them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, he said, those who feared the Lord, verse 16, spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. He said, they will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I prepare my own possessions, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Are you getting my point? That is, God was describing that a man spares his son, not because he's his son, but he gives preference to his sons that do what? That serve him. Please, this is an emphasis you see. Paul spoke to Timothy. You know, he was speaking about Timothy. He said, he has served with me in the course of this gospel as a son serving his father. When God describes sons, he puts them into two categories. The story is found in the book of Luke concerning the prodigal son. You remember that story very well. Now, there's something I want to know about the prodigal son in chapter 15. It described two sons. The first son is the one we all know about. That is the most popular or the most famous. Not popular, all right? But the most famous son is the prodigal one, all right? But he had a brother. And this was what distinguished him from his brother. He came to his father and said, give me my inheritance. I want what belongs to me. And his father gave it to him. And he left. You know the rest of the story. But what was his brother? His brother came to his father and said, all these days I have served thee, neither did I ever transgress any of your commandments. That helped me to divide the sons of God into two categories. Number one, there are prodigal sons, and the rest are sons that serve. Are you getting my point? And you know, we've heard he said again and again that nature abhors a vacuum, that you cannot have a vacuum in life. And I found this one out. God will tell you something like, if you don't serve me, you will serve your enemies. It's not as if you will make up your mind. Now listen, it's not as if you let me make my choice whether I want to serve my enemies or not. God said the only way you can make that choice is by deciding whether you will serve God or not. Once you are not serving God, you will serve your enemies. Are you getting my point? That is the same principle when it comes to the sons. If you are not a serving son, you are a prodigal son. You know, I said something, was it last week I talked about it? That listen, it was on Monday. As a Christian, one thing you must understand is that willpower does not work. Don't fool yourself. That is why we have New Year resolutions as jokes every year. Since you were a child, you've been taking New Year resolutions. You have found out that they never last more than the first 1 week. Because willpower does not work. Do you understand the point I am making? What works is submission. Do you follow the point I'm making? When you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, then he, by his grace, causes you to walk righteously. What I was describing on Monday, when I explained that, was when we were talking about the power of the sacrifices that the children of Israel offered. Look, obedience to the law was not easy, and God was not taken by surprise. So he gave them simple things to do. Number one, he said, this book of the law must not depart from your mouth. You must talk about it every time. Number two, you will appear before the Lord a certain number of times a year, and you will offer sacrifices. This is the way I understand it. As long as you offered those sacrifices consistently, there was a power in that obedience to make you walk above sin. Do you get my point? That is, it's not a matter of willpower. I'm explaining something here. Let me get back to my main message so I don't digress too much from it. If you are not serving God as a son, if you are not a serving son, you are a prodigal son. I've heard stories. This guy, I don't know, is he stupid? I say, listen, yes, he is stupid. Wisdom is a gift of God. If God does not give you wisdom, you will be a stupid man. Are you getting my point? Listen, I have learned in life not to worry about why an adult is not reasonable. No, I have learned that one. I don't worry my head anymore about why an adult is not reasonable. Listen, the power to be reasonable is a gift from God. Do you get my point? You know, when we're talking about the power of the widow's mite, I explained some principles that if you start your business and you go and get a thief to bankroll your business because he's your friend, maybe he's a 419 man, he's a retired armed robber, he's a cocaine dealer, he puts money to fund your business. Just and righteous decisions will never come to you. You will see blue, you will call it yellow. It is not because you want to lie. It's that the spirit of interpretation has been removed from you. Do you get my point? It's called wisdom. No, believe me what I'm trying to say. It's called wisdom. The ability to decode right, to form right decisions from information you are given is called wisdom. If God doesn't give it to you, you don't have it. Are you getting my point? Listen, it's not like I've just made up my mind. I will not be a prodigal son. The only way you can do that is to be a serving son. You are getting my point? Jesus, look, for time's sake, we don't want to go through all of that. But if you read Matthew chapter 21, you will see another parable of Jesus Christ. The only two parables I could find out in which Jesus used the word sons. Everywhere else, he used servants, slaves. Those are the things he used to describe his relationship, that is God's relationship with his children. When he said to disciples, he said, listen, a man had this number of servants. He gave this one. And he's talking to people, telling them, look, watch how you live your life. They were relating with God as if they were servants relating with a master. Are you getting my point? The reason being that the aim of God is to make you serving sons. That's why he talked like that. This other parable I'm referring to, Matthew 21, he told them a story about a man who had how many sons again? Two. And there is a reason why Jesus kept on using things like that. He was telling them, in effect, that you have to be one or the other. That is, there was no third party. There was no place you could be. You either this son or the other one. You are getting the principle. And he said the man had two sons. And this was what defined the sons. He said he called the first one and said, go walk. Are you seeing that? He didn't say, come and show the fact that you are my son. Live in the glory of your father. No. He said, go and walk today. That is, he was describing the excellence of his son in how willing they were to walk for their father. And that's why we read from Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 here, down to 18. He said, I will spare them like a man spares his son that serves him. That is, I mean, it makes sense. If that son does not serve him, he will not spare him. Are you getting my point? In fact, the Bible, God gave them commandments expressly, the children of Israel, that's what their sons, he calls gluttons. He said, their fathers are meant to bring them out in the open and have them stoned to death. Being a son is not a big deal. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What makes you outstanding is that you are a son that serves. Are you getting my point? And Jesus has told us that servants don't go around claiming anything. They won't say, I have worked, it is time to rest. They said they will finish working and say, is there any more work for us to do? In fact, Jesus used words like, we are unworthy servants. You know, we have tried to explain that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Such words don't matter. Listen, you should always read things in context. What he was trying to explain is that these are people who are so committed to their master that nothing is too big for them to do. Do you get the point I'm making? Are you following the point I'm trying to say here? That is, so being a son, when Narizzi asked me that question, that was the answer I gave him. I said, listen, being a child of God is correct. Are you getting my point? But don't hang on it. Children of God who hang on the fact that they are children of God, they die sharp. They don't, look, God doesn't spare them. He allows them periods of training. If they don't repent and become conformed to the attitude of a servant, serving their father, then something goes spoil. Do you get my point? And that's why we emphasized last week that the issue of righteousness is not a means of getting something from God. It is not. Let me emphasize it again. It is absolutely not. Righteousness is the end, is the aim. That is, once a man has become righteous, he is satisfied. He has done his work. The rest belongs to God. Do you get my point? Promotion in the office. Listen, it is not. God doesn't have to give it to you as a sign of your righteousness. I'm going to say some things today. Listen, God does not have to give it to you as a sign of your righteousness. The problem we have as Christians, I believe in Nigeria currently, I don't know about the rest of the world, and I believe a lot also in America because I watch them talk on TBN and places, is that we have, it crept in slowly. We have thoughts. Now, prosperity message is good. And listen, I believe in prosperity. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Prosperity message is good, but don't ever forget, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses, which means that you cannot judge how much God was with a man by the abundance of the things that he possesses. The reason is that there are many factors. God delights, the Bible says, in the prosperity of his servants. I don't dispute that. Do you get my point? But then there is something about being a serving son. And we've discussed that on Monday during our teachings about the Lamb of God. There are people that laid down their lives for the brethren. It is not as if God did not bless them, but he said, listen, we achieve more for God if we don't hold on to this blessing. Paul says sometimes claiming our rights as Christians hinders the progress of the gospel. Do you get the point I'm making? Look, and this is very, very true. He told them that, listen, I knew that I was entitled to this, but then if I claimed what was my right, the gospel will not move as freely as it should move. Do you get my point? One of those things that I practice personally, because when I started practicing it, when I began to understand it, I didn't see anybody else do it like that. If you buy our CDs and everything, I kept on emphasizing in it that please, oh, feel free to make copies. Then later I would say, no, please, you're encouraged to make copies. Why do I do that? My wife will ask me, why do you do that? I said, number one, we are not funding ministry by returns on sales, number one. Number two, but this is what I want to emphasize. I said, my dream is that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. Listen, a laborer is worthy of his wages. If I decide to collect royalties on every CD sold, it is not a sin. Do you understand my point? It is not a sin. Do you get my point? But then I reasoned like this, because a man stopped me once. He just saw me, he greeted me, and he recognized me. So he now stopped me, asked me, please, how can I get these materials? Incidentally, I asked someone, I just turned, I said, okay, I forgot something at home, I'm about to go and pick it, just follow me back home. So when he finished collecting some of our MP3 CDs, he now said that, please, how can he get more for his friends? I said, do you have a copier? He said, yes. I said, why don't you copy the ones you have? He looked at me with surprise. You know why? He came from Abuja. Now, what do I want him to do? Drive from Abuja or we'll start mailing out? Now, I said, listen, the ones you have, share with your friends. He was surprised. Listen, it is not. Don't think this guy the guy delights in pain. He doesn't like money. Listen to me. I pray that God will give me abundance of prosperity. No, don't think I'm talking like this because I like suffering. It is pervert, Mike Murdoch said, for a man to pursue pain. Do you get my point? It's just that a man has to endure pain. The sign of manhood that you can endure. Do you get my point? So there are times you endure things. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. You are getting my point? So that this thing of right, look, it is not as if God doesn't prosper people. But we have come to understand that sometimes they willingly lay down their life for the brethren. Do you get my point? That there's what is called the Lamb of God that is necessary for that Lamb to shed his blood for the redemption of mankind. And Paul has told us that this is clear. There are things that are lacking in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That we have to be the ones to fill it in. That is sometimes... Paul wrote to Timothy, you must learn to endure hardship as a true soldier of Christ. I like the fact that he never said enjoy hardship. Do you follow my point? The fact that you are not enjoying it does not mean it is wrong. Do you get the point I'm making? Paul said endure hardship. It will not last forever. It will last for a season. But while it is lasting, you must endure it. Are you following my point? Listen, there are times you will be sacked for doing righteously. Don't think, God, where were you? God said, where was I? Where do you think? I don't travel. Where will I travel to? The same place I was before you took that job is where I see I am right now. Do you get my point? Don't think that because you stood for righteousness, God will just come and defend and just kill everybody. Sometimes your enemies will prosper before your eyes like this. You'll be wondering, God, what is going on? Please, I'm saying all these things to emphasize the point that righteousness is for the aim of what? Righteousness. Please, I'm trying not to preach this message again. I'm just trying to emphasize something. In fact, all the reviews I said I wanted to do, I'll just leave it and quickly just go on into the things I want to say today. Now, I ended last week by explaining some things. I explained the fact that Righteousness is very powerful. If you remember, I said I was going to title last week's message, The Force of Righteousness, or The Power of Righteousness, something like that. But by the time I finished, I realized I had not said anything about it. So I'll go into that issue today. Then before I now go, if I can, if I have time, into what I call the fast of God. That is very important. That's like the main thing I want to say. But let me finish this issue of the power of righteousness. Now, we read from Romans chapter 5 here to bring out an issue. I said this last week, that sin is very powerful. We read a few references where the Bible says that one of the friends of Job was explaining that maybe your sons sinned and God gave them over to the power of their transgression. And that was around Job chapter 8. And then we also saw that Isaiah explained that we sinned and you have delivered us into the power of our iniquities. Those two scriptures show us that sin has power. It can bind people. Let me say this again. Listen, the problems in life, the foundation is sin. The man that might suffer not being a man who has sinned. Let me emphasize that again so I can understand it very well. The man who will suffer, despite the fact that he has not sinned, is a man who is laying down his life for the salvation of other people. Are you getting my point? Listen, that was what Jesus was. Let me explain this. It was not possible to kill Jesus Christ. Not possible. Several times they attempted to kill him, they never succeeded. Something will go wrong and he will be spared. The reason being that it was not possible for him to kill him except sin was found in him. Do you understand my point? Now, when he was now clear that he was going to die shortly, he now began to explain to his disciples ahead of time that you will see these things happen. But please don't think it is because of sin. He said, the prince of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. He said, but I consciously laid down my life because I am obedient to the will of the Father. Do you get my point? Do you understand my point? That is why a missionary will be the son of a millionaire in his country and travel to a bush somewhere. It is not because he's not entitled to the money he has, but because if I don't go there, I cannot save them from their sins. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And listen, this is the way life is. If you are not touched with the feeling of people's infirmities, you cannot be a blessing to their lives. It is not possible. I keep on telling you that nobody who is living outside Nigeria can pray effectively for the country. It doesn't work. Do you know what God used to do to his prophets? Tell Jeremiah, go and lie down like this. Sometimes I'm like, God, this must be a joke. What kind of harassment is this for a man's life? Prophets are those who, together with God, bear the iniquity of the people. If you know how Jeremiah suffered, then you will know how Jesus must really have suffered. Because Jeremiah didn't see anything compared to what Jesus saw. To bear the sins of the people, that he might be their redeemer indeed. Are you getting my point? You are getting the point I'm making? Listen, go and everywhere you study in life and check the history of this nation and any other nation. I'm sure, because it's a spiritual principle. Men who have not been grilled, they have not gone through things in that place, they don't come out and become the head of the place. If they did, then something is wrong, and watch it, something will really, really become wrong. It is a principle. That is why there were South Africans everywhere. When apartheid was going to collapse, they had to bring Nelson Mandela from jail and put him in charge. It is called being touched by the feeling of the infirmities. Please, I hope you are getting my point. That is the way it is. This is a principle of life. Problems come from sin. But many men experience the problems that came from sin, though they did not sin. Because that is the only way they will be able to redeem those who sinned from their problems. Please, I just feel like emphasizing this today. Jesus is Savior of the world, right? But he doesn't save the world alone. He said, you are the body of Christ. If you are about to fall and I want to catch you, I don't use my head to catch you. What do I use? My hand. That is as part of my body. So when God wants to redeem people, Jesus is the Savior, but he has to have a hand to which he to redeem them. And the hand is always on earth. Do you get my point? That's why Paul emphasized to Timothy. He said, endure hardship as a true soldier. Please, I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. Now, these are the things that I'm beginning to teach, talking about living a godly life, Righteousness is the aim. I said righteousness has power. I'm trying to explain that. And this, just like sin has power, sin binds people. For God to deliver those who have been bound from sin, he uses a bigger power. And that is the power in righteousness. Are you getting my point? Righteousness is a defense. I gave an example before that, what's his name of our good friend, Samson. Samson was anointed. He had the power in his hands to do exploits, but he did not have righteousness defending him. Therefore, despite the fact that he was very powerful, the man died early. I said something last week, and I think it's good, let me refer to it again. Kenneth Hagin was a blessing to my life. You know, he's one of those men that were pivotal in my early training in Christianity. There are stories the man told. Eh? He will tell you that God told him directly, not this kind of, I was praying, and in my spirit I felt, and then God was speaking to me. No, Jesus appeared to him physically and told him in simple English. He said two things he told him then. Make sure that for everything that happens, you give all the glory to me. Then number two, he said, be careful about money. And then he repeated it to him again. He said, be careful about money. He said, he told him that many of my children that have heavily anointed have shipwrecked everything because of their love for money. I told you before, Satan can never defeat a child of God. It's not possible. It is God that gives up his children. Do you get my point? Look, God, when I was telling the children of Israel, he said, listen, when you have begun to sin, this is what will happen. A small village will rise up against you. You will scatter in many ways. He said, how can one chase 1,000 and two chase 10,000? Now, the 1,000 was Israelites and 10,000 Israelites, and the one or the two were the Gentiles. He said, how can it happen except that their rock sold them up? Are you hearing my point? Satan can never defeat the children of God. It is by themselves, all right, that they do things that make God deliver them up to the hand of the enemy. Paul said, I heard there was a sinner amongst you. Therefore, I gave him up, are you getting my point, to Satan. Satan, before he comes around your life, he needs permission to do anything. That is why he's never a prayer point in my life. Never. That is, you are resisting Satan. By Satan, I resist you. It is a submission to God that resists Satan. Steadfastness of faith is what resists Satan. Are you getting my point? Satan is never a problem with the child of God. The Philistines were not a problem to Samson. You know that. Who was the problem to Samson? Samson. He went there, and there he saw a woman. And he saw a harlot. You know, God is long-suffering. The man will come from the house of the harlot and finish all the Philistines. Then he will go to another place and see another woman. Well, they are living there. One day, finally, the women that he was seeing, they finally removed his eyes and gave to the women. And he could never longer see a woman. Are you getting my point? It was his lack of righteousness that defeated him, not the Philistines. You understand the logic here? And that is the way it is with Christianity. And I'm beginning to bring out something. I said, living the godly life. It's so important we understand it. Christianity is not in the heart, though. Are you getting my point? Look, you don't know a Christian by the kind of badge he carries. How big is his the badge on his chest? You know, Jesus is the Savior of the world. Now, we know that, I explained that last week, those things are important, all right? But it is not what makes a Christian. Are you following my point? It is not the church you go to, fill it in here. With church you attend, you fill it in, and then we know you're a Christian. That's not the point. That in your life, there are things that show that you are a Christian. And that is what I'm teaching in this season. But I want to lay this foundation today, that those things are the things we call the works of righteousness. Righteousness is in the heart, I know. But I said that without the works, it is not there. Just like we found out last week, that a man cannot be happy and have a frowning face. It doesn't happen. You know that? You cannot be happy and have a frowning face. I mean, you are very happy, and yet your face is squeezed. What did they happen? Say, I'm just very happy. So the happier you get, the frownier you become. No, it doesn't happen. Please, I'm finding myself going over the things we said last time. I'm trying not to do that. But this is the point I'm making. It is that righteous lifestyle that I'm trying to emphasize. That is actually the power that defends you in the midst of adversity. When God was going to judge the children of Israel, was it Ezekiel or Jeremiah? It was Jeremiah. Jeremiah had a vision, and he said, okay, First, before we begin judgment, go into the whole land and begin to mark, let me summarize it, those who are righteous in the land. Do you get my point? Now, when they marked, Jeremiah found there was the only one that had a mark on his head. And God told him simply, I will give you your life as a booty. That in all the destruction, you will survive. That is, no matter how many people connive to kill him, something will happen, he will be delivered. Why? Because righteousness was a defense. Do you understand my point? Listen, I know I was doing the seminar, we explained something. That what Satan does, knowing that he cannot win, is to bait somebody out from the cover of God. It is called the counsel of Balaam. Are you following my point? That is, Balaam knew that there is no enchantment against Jacob. No divination against Israel. There is no way, Balak, you can attack these people. Their God is too strong. He said, the place of their hiding is an impregnable rock. Forget it. He said, but there's a way we can do it. Bait them, let them come out. When they come to level ground, we finish them. So that one said, this man, the pleasure of all men, many concubines. Nice. The girls were just waving. Hi. The boys, look. When Moses was not looking, they jumped. That was their destruction. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And this point I'm trying to make, that's what Satan still does till today. He will tell you, politics, there is no way. You say God has called you to be a ruler. There is no way. You must enter PDP and, you know, it is not really, what they are doing is not as if it's bad. You know, it will explain it away. You know what he's trying to do? Bait you out. Then once you start doing the works of the people, listen, there is no righteousness there. Get my point. There is nothing like I'm the son of God, I will be delivered. Nothing like that. God told the children of Israel like this. He said, if you do their works, listen, God is not mocked. God is not impartial. God is not a partial person. I judge people according to what they have done. If you do the same thing, I give the same judgment. Listen, I've taught this on radio before. That what sin does to people, listen to this, is to cripple them from succeeding. Do you understand my point? Let me explain to you. I told you earlier, you cannot just make up your mind. No, I'm going to be, you can't just decide that I'm going to be successful. No. You cannot just make up your mind that, listen, good things must happen to me. These things are beyond your powers. Do you get my point? They are beyond your powers. You cannot, this is a very good example, you cannot make up your mind to be intelligent. You know that. How do you decide to be intelligent? No? You can't decide to live long. You know that. No, you are getting what I'm saying. Can you decide to get a high-paying job? You can't. You can only desire it. You can desire to be intelligent. Can you decide I'm going to be a good artist? Either you can or you can't. You are getting what I'm saying. Now, sin is that thing that makes you incapable of doing the thing that God wants you to do. It is not as if you will find out that, you want to make an investment. You now, you don't have the avenue. Let me try and get a very good illustration now. It's not as if the country will be so bad that you will not be able to invest. No. This is the way it works. Sound investment judgment will be presented to you. You will drive it away. That is, you will lose the ability to make sound judgment. You know, you remember when God was going to split Israel? This is how he did it. Rehoboam came. Solomon died, they made Rehoboam king. And he sat down there. The people came and gave him sound counsel. Oga, the later days of your father were bad days. Don't do it like that. He said, okay. The man listened to the whole counsel and he was happy. And the elder said, thank God, we have a young, reasonable man. Then his friends came. How far? Now, you know, say I'll be king now. Now, see these elders, they came the other day, and they told me, the boy said, don't listen. It's our turn to reign. If you reduce the taxes, how will you do our contracts? You know, Nigeria style, you know. Now, this is what I want to say. There was counsel on the left, counsel on the right. One leading to life, the other leading to death. Listen to this. It was not within that young man's power to make a sound judgment. No matter how hard the man tried, he had to make a bad judgment. Why? Because spiritual events had been set in motion to cripple that country. I said something last week. You can pray all you want. God will not change any politician in Nigeria. He will only replace them. If you think that one governor will not give his life to Christ, suddenly he will be the best human being on earth. Forget, it doesn't happen like that. I'm explaining something here. When a nation is set to prosper, what God does is to bring righteous rulers for them. The men may have been there all the while, but the whole climate of the nation was not the climate of prosperity. So no matter how hard you try, a good man won't get there. Any man who gets there, listen, it's like Judas. You think Judas now with open eye, he go betray Jesus Christ? The Bible said that what happened? Satan entered him. I told you, when a man says Satan pushed me, he's not lying. Satan really did. They say, we're always blaming Satan. It's true. You know why we always blame Satan? Because it's true. Satan is always at fault. You think it is easy for a man to carry a gun? When all men are sleeping, he will be awake. When he wanted to read, do you know how hard it was to read? Why did he become a thief? He couldn't read. Yeah, he could stay awake, going around, shooting somebody. No be ordinary eye. Why do you think the man has to sniff cocaine before he shoots an innocent person? Because he must open a door for a Satan. Listen, to just kill somebody is not cheap. It's not easy. There is a spirit of murder that enters the man first. But what he has done is that he opened the door for that spirit earlier. And that is what makes him culpable. You are getting the point I'm trying to make. He had already opened the door in his life. I'm bringing out a point here. When a man will do right and a man will do wrong, it is not just what he has decided. A man cannot just decide to succeed in life. No. But what does little sins do? They open the door for Satan and make him a bigger thief. You get my point? What did I say? Oh, Judas is doing? Stealing from the purse. Small sin. Wasn't a big sin. In previous times, probably had done something in his village. They covered it. Nobody knew. But that had opened a door. Are you getting my point? Sound judgment had been taken away from him. I'm talking about living a godly life. This is what it does for a man. Righteousness, the Bible says, delivers from death. Do you get what I'm going to say here? That is what gives one man the ability. You know, Kinsey, you were asking me the other day about a book on how to be led by the Spirit. And I said I didn't recommend the book for certain reasons. Because one of the examples that somebody gave once was one particular man became very rich, learning how to be led by his spirit, by checking his spirit. When I heard that example, I smiled. I said, you see, it is not the ability to check your spirit before you make a business decision that decides whether you will become successful or you'll be a failure. Now, get what I'm going to say. You can't go and practice, let me check my spirit. With this, Intercontinental is selling now at 13 naira. Okay, will it go to 27 naira before the end of the year? Then you check your spirit, check, then you hear, yes, my son, it shall. Then you sell your father's house, mortgage everything you have, put all your money and put it inside. December 31st, the thing is 5 naira. But I heard in my spirit, yes, you did. But what a man hears is dependent on the kind of ears he has. It's not whether the spirit is speaking or not. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, the man will become successful, all right, with sound judgment, not because he practiced how to check his spirit, but because righteousness had enabled his spirit to make sound judgments. I am one person that I am absolutely not in favor of this checking your spirit principle. I don't. I'm not in favor of it. Listen, let me tell you how spirits work. Listen. Let me teach you this. This is sound doctrine. This is a solid principle of life. The spirit is the propulsion for the things you do. It's not that thing you listen to. Let me explain it to you again. Your spirit is the propelling force for the things that you do. It is not the thing that gives you instructions. Are you getting my point? That is, it propels you. It's just the spirit of a man just propels him. You don't discuss with your spirit. Oh, you know, we are propounded that doctrine like, you just sit down and then you check, then your spirit will tell you something. Listen, look, anybody who's hearing this and is disagreeing in his heart, in my opinion, is probably lying. Let me tell you why I say so. This is what I mean by lying. You have thought the times you got it wrong, it was because you were not well practiced. Do you get my point? That you see, you should learn more discernment. That's not what you needed. You will not be better than you were when you got it wrong. The truth is that is not how you make your decisions in life. The truth is that a righteous attitude, a normal righteous walk in life, gives you a sharp spirit to pick up right things without you thinking about them. Do you get my point? Because if you remember, one example I used then, when you condition your soul, you've watched martial arts before. Those things they show on television, they didn't do fast forward, though. Those men are that fast. Even they did fast forward, there's no fast forward there. When a man is fighting and defending himself in different positions 5 times in 1 second, obviously he's not thinking that fast. You know what's happened? He has conditioned his members to react. Do you get my point? It is that conditioning of your members to react that I'm calling your spirit. Do you follow my point? That is, you take a decision before you can think, you've taken the right one. The ability to think correctly or make the right judgment is dependent on whether righteousness is on your side or it is not. Do you follow my point? Sin cripples the ability to think correctly. That's what I'm trying to say. You know, this marriage thing. I am sorry, I will say this so that people who want to learn the truth may understand correctly. No matter how much you investigate who the great-grandfather of the boy you want to marry is, it will not make you a good, it will not make the marriage successful. Let me say this again. I have seen 200 questions to ask before you say, I do. Listen to me, they only lead to more ungodliness and confusion in your spirit. Quote me that Pastor Banky said that if I ask 200 questions, I will become a confused person and I will never make the right judgment. Quote me on that. Listen, it is not the number of questions you ask. The Bible says, he that is pleasing to God will be delivered from the useless woman. It's not the one that has the greatest number of questions well checked out. You know, my wife and I had a few discussions some time ago, and I shared a bit of it on Monday, some things about it. Listen to this. This is very, very true. What I want to tell you is very, very true. People don't ever be doctrine on testimonies. Are you getting my point? Let me say, what I want to tell you is very true. I don't care whether the grandfather of one young man or one young woman was a DBA or not. Are you getting what I'm saying? It does not affect your life currently if you walk according to your faith in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. I don't believe in the breaking of generational curses. It's a waste of time. I don't believe in investigating whether your ancestors belong to the far priest lineage. Do you understand my point? As long as you do what is right, curses are automatically broken. Listen. My full name, my surname that I bear now, which my wife bears, which my children bear, is Olushino. All right? Which means the Lord has opened the way. You are following my point. Now, in this whole world, of men my age and older, you can count on one hand the number of people that bear that name. You know why? It's a name born out of Christianity. That's not my father's name. My father's name is Ogunshino. You know who Ogun is? The God of Iron. He said he has opened the way. Listen, Jesus said, they gave him a coin. They said, he said, should we pay that to Caesar? He brought out the coin. He said, in fact, Naira is even better. He said, whose inscription and whose likeness is this? They said, Caesar's. He said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. This is what I'm going to make. Caesar puts his inscription on what belongs to him. Do you understand my point? So I rejected that name as an adult. I said, I cannot bear the inscription of the God I don't serve. All my children are named after the true God. That is, I give glory to him in everything. I won't bear names like Oswagu. Are they mad? Do you get the point I'm making? People told me, why do you bother to change your name? I said, because I bear the likeness and the inscription of the person I belong to. I'm bringing out the point. If I do those things, any cost attached to the fact that my great-grandfather worshipped Ogun is broken automatically. Are you getting the point I'm making? I don't go after the one tree that was planted somewhere in our compound those days. If that tree is effective, it will catch fire by itself. I won't have to go there. Do you get my point? If it still had any power, God will burn it up. I don't have to go there. People will leave Lagos and come to the village to come and sacrifice. Meanwhile, the man is a crook inside the market. Let me say it again. All this breaking of ancestral curses is a product of lack of understanding. He said this one, the Bible says, was born not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man,
but of the Spirit of God. You are getting my point. So Jesus said, when Paul said, walk in that spirit, it is walking out of God's order, walking out of righteousness that puts people in bondage to the iniquities of their fathers. And let me tell you this, you can break it all you like, it does not go anywhere. That is the dangerous part. They give you a false confidence. God said they have healed the brokenness of the daughters of my people slightly. Do you know this word? Slightly. That is, they achieve some results by saying peace, peace, when there indeed is no peace. Listen, for anybody who has observed wounds, if you're a doctor, you will understand something. There are times a wound will dry on the surface. You will see the doctor will go there. The place looks covered. Yet he brings his instrument, or the nurse will go and start dressing the wound and opening the wound some more. Like, this thing was already covering, you know, until this madam came this morning. But she's trained to see that this is a superficial covering. The dirt is still under. Are you getting my point? The rottenness has not. We have to expose the rottenness and clean it away. All this breaking of ancestral curses is superficial healing. Do you understand my point? Jesus told us clearly it is possible for the demons to go, but they will come back sevenfold stronger. So that's why I don't ever build doctrines on testimonies. When the I have seen it before. When they laid hands like this, see, the man was screaming and then demons were flying out. I said, where are the demons now? They are back in his heart. They will go for a while. The man is anointed. They will leave him alone. So this anointing is only a own bonus. She said, you will go back home. You will go back to that market. No, so. You will go back to your office. Don't worry now. Then the first deal you do, the moment you collect the kickback, they said, the door is open. The door is open. Before, she said, you couldn't come out of debt. You get my point. You're always owing money. You're always in financial trouble. That was the only problem before. All right. So they will go for 1 week. You say, praise the Lord. Ever since that deliverance, and I paid the tithe, and of course, I blessed the man of God, everything has been fine. Satan, he said, no problem. Everything is fine. Allow the man of God go back to where he came from. You go back to Lagos where you are doing your business. No trouble. As soon as you sit down, he said, Gabe, I want original plug. He said, this is not the original one. It's a lie. See, he has told a lie. The Satan will say, wait. Shame me, I was putting him in debt before, right? He was always owing money. Now, that one is not enough. He said, now, please, sickness, come. I give him small heart trouble. That's one. The dad, his son, that has been doing very well in school. Why should he be so smart? Another one come, corrupt their brains. Come and say, seven. At the end of the year, the man is wondering what happened. But you know the sad part? He phones that man of God again. Oh God, another trouble has come. It's not another trouble. It's an amplification of the one that was there. It didn't go away. That's why God lamented. They have healed the brokenness of the daughters of my people slightly. By saying peace, peace, when indeed there is no peace. They will heal them slightly. Are you getting my point? They will heal them slightly. Listen to me. No, nobody can break ancestral curses of your life. Nobody. The only person who could break it had broken it. That's Jesus Christ. So he said, walk in the freedom with which I have set you free. Do you get my point? He said, how do I walk in it? He said, that is called the power of righteousness. Do what is right at all times, and Satan has no how he will enter into your life. People will tell you, look, you will learn all kinds of names of demons. Which kind of wahala is that one? Listen, all the Ghanaian names I know, I'm not sure if they can reach one hand. You get my point? You know why? Because my neighbors are not Ghanaians. Are you getting my point? I don't work with them in the office. We don't live in the same place. If Satan and me are not friends, why am I learning his name? Do you get my point? Now, I don't know why I'm preaching like this today. Because it's somewhere else I was going. But I believe that somebody is learning something. Listen, don't let people heal your wounds slightly. Thorough healing. Do you get my point? It takes time. Do you understand my point? It takes an effort on your part. And that is what people don't want. They want to just stand like this, say, oh yeah, hey, your problem is gone. It's gone. All right, it's gone. Hey, put your hand there, it's gone. Listen, I believe in laying on of hands, but it doesn't solve every problem. Jesus never laid hands on a poor man. You notice that in the Bible? He never did.
He said, if it's poverty, that kind of demon goes out by instruction. He said, so I preached the gospel to him. I explained things to him. I hope you are following the point I'm making. I said, righteousness has what? Power. So that is the force that wards off every evil away from you. And that's what I'm talking about, living the godly life. What Satan tries to do is to explain to you that it does not work. Are you following my point? He said, no, this doesn't work like this. He said, look, let's tell ourselves the truth. What he's doing is baiting you away from the secure zone that you should have been in. Oh, let me talk about marriage again. Because Christians must learn some things. The problem is that they think like their fathers. Therefore, the demons of their fathers don't leave them alone. Example I gave during the seminar. He said, in our village, we don't marry from that village. Why? Because the DBA of our village 2 centuries ago cursed them. Therefore, they are outcast to us. Fine. So God said, this is the will of God concerning you. That girl. But she's from that village. He said, no, that's out of bounds now. So who are you serving? My glory, I don't share with another. The decisions in your life, I don't share with another. So what God does, he backs up sharp. Are you getting my point? Light and darkness. It's absence of light that is called darkness. So absence of God, you become stupid. You start making stupid decisions. Listen, as long as that principle is guiding your life, and this is how God does it, it will make it very clear to you. You know, listen, God is kind. And God talks very simply. All this one of the, how do I check the will of God? Check the will of God. Let me tell you the truth. The problem is that you don't want to hear it yet. No, listen to me. When you want to hear it, it's very loud. Until you remove the idol from your heart. We have examined that, talking about the will of God, Ezekiel chapter 14. When there are idols in your heart, when the iniquity is in front of your face like this, you can never make a sound judgment. After that, you will marry a Jezebel that introduced herself as a Jezebel, and you will not even know. That is, she will come and say, excuse me, sir, my name is Jezebel. I'm guaranteed to wreck your life and kill you. But will you still marry me? You'll be nodding like a gamma lizard. Do you understand my point? Because God has removed from you the wisdom to make sound judgments. Why? Because you took his glory and gave to another. And you say, he was such a nice brother. How you take marry this kind of mad girl? God is true. His word has been tried 7 times. Listen, if anybody appears like wants to prove God wrong, tell him, try your principles 7 times. What am I trying to say? His word says that a man that is pleasing to God will be delivered. If he was not delivered, he is not pleasing to God. Do you get my principle? When you allow the system of the world, all your life, you and your friends, you've gathered when you were in school. And then when you are marrying, you are going to shop in America. But this young man that wants to marry you, it is obvious that he can't even buy a flight ticket to Lagos. Are you getting my point? But the interesting part is that is the only flaw he has. If it is godliness, Kai, the guy is called 101 over 100. If it is faithfulness, you don't doubt it. If it is purpose in life, if it is anointing of God in whatever area he's involved in, you can see it. But my wedding gown is supposed to come from Harrods now. It may sound funny. Do you know that people take life and death decisions on trivial things? You make eternal judgments based on temporal situations. And you now say, what happened? How did she not marry that kind of stupid man? It is called the absence of wisdom. God took his wisdom and put it in his pocket. Then she will see a cocaine pusher. Her friends will tell, look, listen, I know this guy. My cousin, with a man at that time, he used to buy cocaine from him. And he said, it doesn't matter now, but he has come to church. Are you getting my point? The reality is that wisdom was taken away from her. That's why all this had I known. You knew. Do you understand my point? You knew. But the ability to convert your knowledge to sound decision was what you didn't have. That is what is called wisdom. And that one is what? A gift from God. What am I trying to explain? The power of righteousness. Are you getting my point? God has given righteousness to us as a defense. Listen, that is, Satan will threaten you.
listen to those who walked the way you did. You know they never made money. You know why your father never became rich? It was because he was doing this righteous thing. He didn't tell you that that's the only reason why the man is not dead. That half of his friends that followed him, they were buried 20 years ago. Another man trained his children. He never told you. But all you'll be doing is grumbling. Say, eh? Yes, so that's what my mother said. If he had just done like this, by now too, we'll be millionaires. You don't know. By now, you'll be an orphan. He will have died with your mother. Do you get my point? No, that's what Satan does. It's called deception. You know what I'm saying? Deception. You've heard this story before. I don't know whether you've heard it. Of the night, two angels, an angel of death and another angel, stop over in one woman's house. And the woman took very good care of them. Gave them food, housed them. And then this woman had only one cow. That's all she was living on. The milk from the cow and everything. And in the morning, as they were leaving, the cow was dead. And the other angel knew that, this angel of death, this is your wickedness. So as soon as they left the woman, he said, hey, this guy, you wicked. After all this woman did for us, you couldn't just carry your sting and go away. You still have to pour it on that cow. Yeah, the guy said, it is because of what she did for us. That's why she's still alive. I was supposed to kill her. That the death of the cow is kindness. That it was the woman I came to kill. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That is how some of us treat the issue of righteousness. You don't know that's what preserved that man's life. They are saying that is why he is not rich. That the forces in life were supposed to kill him. But the hand has been restrained. The worst he could do for him was to make him slightly poor. But God said, I will give him enough money. I will give him enough money to train his children. I will give him long life to impart his principle of righteousness into them. Then in that generation that's coming up, I will amplify it. Watch it. You are getting my point. But Satan will be going around. You see all these boys who are driving big cars? So boys will come and say, my God. Not my age. Alright? He didn't tell you that the guy is dying in 2 years' time, and that's for sure. That he's your age, no problem. You will drive his car at his age, no wahala. In 2 years' time, you will also die together. I've told the story about the guy, one guy in my church who told this story of how he did a deal, 419. He and about four other friends. Before the money came, he had given his life to Christ. His father counseled him and said, when the money came, you know the way the money came big time. His father counseled him, said, if any man puts his hand on the plow and looks back, he's not worthy of the kingdom. So he decided to look forward. He's not rich till today. But you know the interesting part? He's the only one alive of the five. All four had died from varying causes. The spirit of death came without payment. Every man who put a hand to a child of God or not is dying. Are you getting my point? Righteousness, the Bible says, delivers from death. You won't say no. Like example I gave the other time. So I will cleanse you with a bigger blood. You are a thief, you know. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why you want to cleanse blood money with bigger blood. There is no blood that can cleanse blood money. Blood money is thrown away. Are you following my point? It's covetousness that does not want to let it go. They start looking for scriptures to justify it. Do you follow the point I'm making? Righteousness delivers from death. I explained something, that this is the power of righteousness. It is what God uses to keep you alive as a soldier in the heat of battle. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is what God uses to preserve the lives of people. When calamity was so, going to be so great, nothing could be spared. God called Jeremiah and said, I will give you your life as a booty. Don't worry. In the midst of troubles, in the midst of adversity, Jeremiah survived. And listen, it's a true saying that where there is life, there is hope. That's why the Bible says a living dog is better than a dead lion. Do you get my point? What does Satan try to do? Tell lying stories. You know how Satan tells his stories? He doesn't tell the whole truth. He tells you part of the truth. Did God say you shouldn't eat it? He said, God, he said we shouldn't even touch it. Why? He said we will die. Listen, it is not death. You will not surely die. You will become wise just like God. Then, now listen to this. The moment she believed the wrong thing, She looked at that same fruit that she's been seeing every time, which her faith in the fact that it will kill her had made the fruit ugly in her eyes. Are you getting my point? It's your perception in life that makes some things look glamorous to you and make others not look so glamorous. That is, there's a state of your heart you are in. You will see an ugly thing and call it fine. See the way women dress all over the road? They think they are sexy, you know what I mean? Attractive. But people like me will look and say, you not get papa and you not get brother for house. I let you come out like this, like a harlot. Because the Bible says clearly there's what is called the attire of a harlot. Do you get the point I'm making? You are getting my perception here. That is, look, it is how you perceive things. That is, when you have some things in your heart, Satan told Eve. He said, you won't die, you will become wise. Eve looked. The Bible said, then she saw that it was good for food. All this while, she didn't know it was there. She knew. But in her heart, they said it will kill you. So anytime she saw it, she said, look at that fruit. She said, that fruit is very poisonous. So in her mind, the appearance of that fruit, all right, is the appearance of death. Are you getting my point? That's what Satan does. He tries to color your ability to interpret things. So Eve looked and said, wow, this really must be good. Then she took and ate. And she indeed became wise, able to discern between good and evil. Because God himself said it. Man has become like one of us. But did she still die? Yes, they did. Yes, between her and her husband, they died. Everything Satan said, apart from the fact that they will not die, came to pass. Are you getting my point? So, righteousness. Let's get back to the practical terms. He will tell you, you will make money. Let me tell you the truth. You will make money. If Satan wants to bait you into iniquity, that you will make money, believe me, you will make money. He said, you will soon become a commissioner. Believe me, you will become a commissioner. But this is the problem. The day you make the money, know you are dead. If you didn't make the money, then be happy. It was God that restrained you from progressing in that path of destruction. All your friends that have driven you away from their midst, they have saved your life. You don't know. Believe me, they saved your life. The movement you wanted to start moving with them will have killed you. And you will know because it will soon kill them. Are you following my point? That's what Satan does. Call people, come and join. Listen, I will give you money now. He said, country here, it's because you are not with us. Can't you see either the way we drive around town? What he didn't tell you is that you will soon stop driving. Do you get my point? What he didn't tell you is that car will kill you. Are you following the point I'm making? But Bible says that righteousness does what? It delivers from death. Listen, that is the defense. Listen, because God, I told you something, I was trying to explain something earlier. Being a son of God, being a child of God, is not about being an offspring of God. I'm related, right? You know, I talk to him like I talk to my father. Listen, people make it look like when we're talking with God, you know, we have the nature of God. So we talk to him like a father. So we say, Father, how are you this morning? The father says, my son, how are you too? I'm fine. He said, yesterday I was just, you know, where did you ever read in the Bible that somebody was chatting away with God? Even Moses, go and read all their chat. It is, you shall build it like this, yes, sir. You shall do it like this, yes, sir. Make sure you build according to this pattern, yes, sir. The effort shall be this color, yes, sir. The stones will be from here, yes, sir. Are you getting my point? I don't know. God, maybe he doesn't enjoy this chat. When he comes to a chat on this earth, this place, maybe when you get to heaven, you go to the talk story. Here, it is battlefield. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? The kingdoms of the world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and it shall reign forever. You are taking over kingdoms. I'm not here to discuss. So if you want to chat with God, being a God's child, it's chatting of receiving instructions. Are you getting the point I'm making? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, in life, you are here to do something for God. You are taking over kingdoms. Things are hard, in quote. That's why Paul said, endure hardship. He said, but this is the armor. Everything that Satan shoots against you, the Bible says there is a breastplate of righteousness which will not let it penetrate. The things that want to disturb your heart and make you weary and make you give up and get you confused, it will not penetrate. All Satan is trying to do, don't ever forget this. Satan can never defeat a man, can never defeat a woman who has not first given himself or herself over to Satan for destruction. None. He can never. So what Satan tries to do is to try and tell you, boy, come now. Parley with me small, so that he can kill you at his own time. So, I'm explaining something here. That righteousness is what God demands, requires to be able to send someone into battle. Now, why meditating about this? Something came, well, I was in a book once, and then was it while reading the book? No, not really. I was just meditating one day, and something came to my mind, and I said, "Listen, we are all involved in an agenda, and that agenda is bigger than individuals. That is, it's bigger than you, it's bigger than me, it's bigger than each one of us. And this is the interesting part: each person does not even know the extent of that action that he's involved in." Listen, Satan is real. The devil is very real, and he's trying to take over and retain kingdoms on this earth. When Jesus was going to speak, he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the what? The gates of hell shall not prevail." Did you notice that? That is, what do gates do? Gates try to hold you back. They don't advance. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Miles Monroe explained that one day. I said, wow, this is true. Miles Monroe said that the church is the aggressor, not Satan. Is it not funny that we are always trying to, you know, we have taken Satan as if he's the one chasing us. And then Satan came. You know, when Satan now came, and then I was now feeling the pain in my back. Then Satan came, the pain moved to my head. But praise God, I'm still alive now, not died. The pain is only in my leg now, but I'm still okay. Amen, amen. You know what God said? It is not Satan that comes. It is you that goes. You get my point? He said, the gates of hell, you know what gates do? They withhold the advancing army. They want to ensure that you don't get in. That is why you should not be surprised when they tell you that politics in Nigeria is dirty. That is what Satan is trying to do. Build a gate and say, righteous men, don't come here. So every time you go to church, your pastor will tell you, politics is very dirty. They'll come and tell you, all those businessmen, they are in a cult. They have formed a cult to ensure that nobody else can get into that business. Say, yes, so I know that man. You see, that chief home video marketer is an Ogboni man. I know him. All the other people are inside the Ogboni cult too. Leave that one. Cement? You don't know Dangote? He's the chief of this particular cult that started from Adama. Nobody can sell cement if you are not in their cult. By the time they finish, they say, just go and look for a job. Where? In Dangote's company, it's all right. You can be selling the own video, but don't try and make your... That is, they are building the gates for you. You know what I'm trying to say? Don't advance. Don't advance is risky. Don't advance is risky. Don't advance is risky. And God said, any man that turns back in the day of trouble is breaking my covenant. That is why I think it is absolute spiritual. What do you call it now? When you abscond from the army. There's another word. Desert. It is spiritual desertion. For you to look and say, this country is very hard. I'm going to another one. You have deserted from battle spiritually. When it is hardship that's driving you, you have deserted from battle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Young men, young women must hear this. If hardship makes you desert, are you getting what I'm saying? You have pulled out from battle. Bible says you have broken his covenant. If God has anointed you as a ruler, listen, now, look, some of this we are saying, go and listen to our grace series. You will understand this. Listen, this is the power of grace. You know what God does? If you're a righteous man, I will fight on your behalf. That's the meaning of the word grace. Do you get the point I'm making? If you're a righteous man, I do what? I fight on your behalf. So they will say, okay, me too. God has called me. I know I'm supposed to be a ruler in this nation. And that's a very, very godly one. Well, you can start as looking for presidency like Brother Chris, as God speaks to you. But if you ask me, I'll say, no, small thing. Which local government are you from? You will tell me. I say, no, wahala. Go and collect form. Say you want to be chairman. Are you following my point? Then you too, how much money do you have? Okay. Preach to a few of your friends. Men agree, contribute money. Then print your posters. If you have, okay, all your money could only print 200 posters. Print the 200 posters. Pay for your form and say you are candidate. Let them put your name on INEC account. Do everything necessary. So after that, hey, go around campaigning. Go to a school. Say, please, I want to talk to the teachers in this school. See, my name is Kingsley Ude. I have an LLB. I have a BL. And I'm a child of God. There's righteousness on my side. If I become the local government chairman here, I swear by Almighty God, I'm not going to chop in that money and nobody will chop it. You will see the effect. And people, will, you know, they will get and say, you know, kids, they don't decrease. They will be laughing at you. You know the beauty about it? That's the power of Christianity, power of grace. You really have nothing to lose, really. Nobody talk. At the end of the day, just go around. Listen, nobody can kill you. I'm telling you, anyone who wants to kill you because you are a threat will die suddenly. If his wife agrees with him, she will die with him. If his children don't repent from the works of their fathers, each one of them will die. And I need to say that it's very important. Christians are too kind. They don't pray kind prayers. Arise, O Lord, and let my enemies be scattered. You get my point? If you are in that kind of thing, don't pray kind prayers. Say, God, 24 hours for repentance is good enough. If they don't repent, what's wrong with the mortuary? I'm telling you the truth. Listen, David said, I have beaten them like dust, you know, crushed them very well. The Prince preached a message, how to obtain absolute victory. When I listened to that message, I was humbled. Some of the principles of righteousness in this battle for kingdoms, they appear very, very wicked. Anyway, let me go on with my political gist. How God will do it, one day, if that is God's purpose at that time, you will be surprised. Because there was one governor in Lagos State at that time, I might remember, Otedola. The man's name is Otedola. And Yorubas have a saying, that your name tend to bring forth destiny upon you. Are you getting my point? Now, you know me know the word Otedola? That is where people conspired against me. I have prospered in that place. He was in an unpopular party in Lagos, NRC. Of course, nobody expected him to win. Except that the last minute, the two prime candidates in STB, is Sanrumi and Agbalajobi, they decided to quarrel. So they scattered their camp. Their camp was divided. A house divided against itself cannot stand. So the man became governor in exact accordance with the prophecy in his name. They used to call him Baba Goslow. Because during state council meeting, the man will be falling asleep. That he was not supposed to win that election. Have you not read in your Bible so you can take encouragement that the people of Mount Seir and the Moabites, what are the three people that camped against the Israelites, against Jehoshaphat, they turned against and they finished themselves. What you will just be is the last man standing. That's all the people have conspired. Then when they are finished killing themselves, fighting themselves, spoiling their own votes, you defaultly win. What they call default winning. So you are the only one remaining now. That's it. God will say, did I not tell you that I can make anybody anything? That Samuel said to Saul, were you not small in your own eyes, yet God made you? Let nobody fool you. That they say you join PDP, or PDP is so powerful. Listen to me. Anybody can become anything tomorrow. What I mean by anything, that a president can be a prisoner in 24 hours. If you hear fellow Nigerians tonight, they're all in jail by tomorrow morning. You know that. You are following the point I'm making. I can't see the things that are happening. Right now, our vice president stands disqualified for the next election as things stand today. As things stand today, he stands disqualified. In fact, sometimes I wonder whether what they are doing is not what we say in Yoruba language, that if you say the rats no go chop the beans, it will scatter everything. So nobody go chop out. But when God is doing things like that, listen, kingdom is about to change hands. What God is saying, that let the righteous man just stand there and wait. And do what? Wait. This is the principle of waiting. Continue doing righteously. Oh, one man that I take a good example, what they call encouragement from. I don't know his name. I just watched the encounter in American politics. This guy was a retired school teacher. Now, an average American going for position of governor, senator, and above, they are multi-millionaires. They are rich people first, and then they now have rich backers. This guy was a retired school teacher. He wanted to be either mayor or governor. Can't remember which one for sure. He was competing against strong, independent candidates that had money unlimited for that election. So people just believed in him, and they were, you know, campaigning for money, getting small money, doing their... But at the end of the day, let me cut the long story short, he won the election. And I watched his speech on CNN. The man started by saying, "This definitely has been an experience that money cannot buy." Everybody laughed because they understood. He was the poorest of the lot. He was a retired school teacher. "This definitely has been an experience that money cannot buy." I'm explaining something to you. One day, let me just end this on this matter of politics. One day you will stand and say, "This has been an experience that connection could not buy." Amen. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Say, "This has been an experience that joining one popular party could not assure." Listen, that's what God wants to do. But what he's doing with young men, young women, is just training them in righteousness. Training them in righteousness. The Bible says this scripture is profitable for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be made ready, perfect for every good work. Please let me end with this statement. I said that we're all involved in one agenda. Satan is fighting. God said, "My army is advancing." No matter the story you hear, God is winning. No matter what they try to make it look like, the whole of Europe is now apostate. That is how the whole of Africa has become Christians. God is winning. Are you getting my point? And anything you do in life, you are part of an agenda that is much bigger than you. God said, "Be ready for my good work." Every man bowing down to wealth, bowing down to money, bowing down to connection, bowing down to other human beings, they have naturally become part of Satan's agenda. And listen, the system of this world is under an eternal judgment from God. The only way you will deliver yourself is to come out from it. When I was reading that book, Money and Wealth in the New Millennium, by Non France, when he was making, said the guy was trying to describe physical cults that are trying to take over nations. I said, "Well, I don't have the information you have. You are probably right. But," I said, "there's something deeper. Whether there are physical cults or not, there are spiritual powers trying to take over nations." Listen, let me tell you this. There are enough demons on earth to kill everybody if they had the opportunity. But this is what you should know as a child of God. They can't touch you. Listen. David said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because the Lord is with me." I'm not saying there are no witches or wizards. I'm just saying I fear no evil and not be their mate. I see Christians just get out all night. All the witches in this environment. Listen, witches, look, spirits don't run away if they are wicked men dead still. The one you cast out with mouth, you bring back with hand. Listen, I have many things to say, but I have spoken for a very long time.